How to leave a church biblically, or how to leave a church to the glory of God. Ephesians 3:21 tells us, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Notice the emphasis, glory to him in the church. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Why should we consider this subject of how to leave a church biblically, or how to leave a church to the glory of God? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, because people do, in reality, leave churches. It's a fact. To say that people join a church and never leave a church is being unrealistic. Also, because some people leave churches in a way that are often disagreeable to the Word of God. They cause hurt and confusion. They place stumbling blocks in the paths of others and bring reproach upon the Word of God, upon God himself, and upon his church. They disrupt the sweet fellowship and gospel communion between other churches as they go from one church to another church with unresolved differences and issues. A third reason why we should consider this subject is because the Scriptures are sufficient to address this issue. Again, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, or whether you leave a church or stay, you do it to the glory of God. And then fourthly, because as we join the church to the glory of God, we want to be ruled by Scripture in all things. And as we came into the church for the glory of God, we want to leave the church so that God, in such a manner that God will be glorified. And lastly, because the triune God is worthy for us to behave in a godly manner in our leaving. Again, see Ephesians 3:21, rather. Okay, then, what is meant by leaving a church? Before you can leave a church, you must biblically join one. And we've already discussed that. But departing correctly is through resignation of membership and going to another visible church or assembly or body of Jesus Christ. It is leaving one body of Christ and going to another. And let me say here that I suspect the Christianity of someone who leaves a church and does not go to another church, because we cannot do without the body of Christ. Just as an ember taken out from a fire, it will grow cold when a Christian, when a believer leaves one body of Christ and does not join with another, that Christian will go cold and indifferent, and if not careful, will go into the world. Well, the question must be asked then, what are some biblical grounds for leaving a church? Reasons for leaving a church are numerous. Most, I believe, are without biblical foundation or warrant. The only biblical grounds for a person leaving a church are these. And let me give them to you, please. There are five, really. First of all, when a church departs from the gospel and the preaching thereof. There are churches today that are called churches, but in reality, they are not churches. They don't preach, they don't know what the gospel is. They don't preach the gospel. They don't even preach. They're giving nothing more than psychological pep rally speeches. There's no exposition of the Word of God. Another reason why you should leave the church is when a church embraces or teaches heresy. When churches teach that salvation is not by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Or if they're allowing unbiblical, heretical teachings and practices in any form or fashion, you should leave that church. Thirdly, when a church tolerates open and scandalous sin in the church leadership or even in the membership and refuses to deal with it via biblical church discipline. I've known situations where pastors have fallen into sexual immorality. And the church says, oh, he's such a gifted man. We can't, you know, he's really sorry. But the Scripture tells us that those, in 1 Timothy 5:20, those who sin openly are to be rebuked openly before all, that all others may fear. This is in reference to pastors. Also to membership. I've known of situations. I've known of a church where a man was convicted of a felony of embezzlement. Nothing was said about it. Nothing was done about it. He continued on in his church membership. Everyone just played like it never happened. I know churches where adulterous relationships have gone on and no one says anything, no one does anything. I talked with this one worship leader, as he called himself, in a church when I was pastoring in Southern California. And he came to me and he said he had been attending our church for several months, and he said, "I want to join this church." And I said, "Here's the application process, et cetera." And he said, "I want to talk to you." I said, "Why do you want to join this church?" And he said, "One of the reasons is the first Sunday I came here, you brought church discipline upon this man that was arrested for beating his wife." And I said, "Well, why does that draw you to our church?" And he said, "Well, let me tell you a little about myself." He said, "I was a worship leader in this very large mega church in Southern California." And he said, "I was having an affair on my precious wife." He said, "The pastor, the assistant pastors, and everybody in the worship praise band knew that I was committing an adultery on my wife with this other woman in the praise band. Not one of the pastors, not one of the assistant pastors, not one of the members of the praise band said anything to me. I continued this affair for 18 months. I realized it was wrong. I broke it off with her. I asked my wife to take me back, and she did. 9 months later, or thereabouts, he said, there was another woman in the church, and I began to have an affair with her. And it became known. He said, everybody knew about it. My children knew about it. And still, none of the pastors, assistant pastors, none of the members of the praise band said one word to me. And they all knew about it. And he said, I realized then they didn't care about me. They didn't care about my spiritual well-being. Well, when situations like this are tolerated in churches and the church leadership refuses or the church itself refuses to deal with it, then you need to leave that church. You need to get out. The fourth reason is when a church changes doctrinal positions not consistent with the church's original confession of faith, its doctrine or practices. For instance, if you're Baptist and you're part of a Baptist church, and it all of a sudden becomes a paedo-Baptist church, or it becomes a charismatic church, or it were to adopt what is known as the new perspective or something of that nature, it's changed its doctrinal foundations. Conversely, a Christian may change his views from that of his church, and unless he is under discipline, he should leave that church. If he were to begin to believe in baptismal regeneration, and he's in a church that does not believe baptismal regeneration, the honest thing for him to do is leave that church. And then lastly, when someone is providentially moved to another location far away from his or her present church, you can die and go to heaven. You can have a job relocation, and there's another good church in that area. Or Christian service to another church or to another country calls you away. Or marriage to a Christian, especially if you're a young lady, you marry a Christian in another church who is a godly young man, then that is grounds to leave your present church and go to another church. But what are some reasons why you should not leave a church? There are a number here. And I believe this. I believe that many times people who leave churches do not leave churches for biblical reasons, and they do not leave a church to the glory of God. What then are some reasons why you should not leave a church? One, you should not leave a church because you reject hard sayings and teachings of the Holy Bible and their implications. If you look in John 6, the Lord Jesus is preaching, and he preaches some hard things. And as he finishes preaching, part of that is preaching the doctrine of election. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will in no wise cast out. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And it tells us there in John 6 that when Jesus had finished preaching, that from that time on, many of his, and I want you to notice the word here, many of his disciples turned and followed him no more. That's when the Lord Jesus turns to Peter, and he says to Peter, "Will you go also?" And that's when Peter gave his wonderful, wonderful statement, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life." And so sometimes, if a pastor is faithful in preaching the whole counsel of God, there will be some hard teachings that he brings forth from the Scriptures. There will be implications of these hard teachings. Doctrine, church discipline, sermons and Sunday school lessons, pastoral counseling. Because they're things that are hard and you don't like them is not a reason for you to leave the church. The question you should ask is it biblical? Another reason why you should not leave the church is because you do not get your ways about non-salvific matters. Philippians 2:3 tells us about two ladies in the church, Euodiah and Syntyche. They're two, we have every reason to believe that they were Christian ladies, and they're fussing with each other. Paul says, stop it. Be at peace. People often make an idol out of their own ideas or desires. The church vote does not go the way that you wanted. The elders or deacons did not do what you thought best. I don't like the way they did that. I don't like the way they did the other. The church is not about me, but it's about Christ. Thirdly, why you should not leave the church is because you're unwilling to deal with personal sins when confronted. I remember one time in my former church, I had to deal with this couple, this divorced lady and this single guy, and they had been fornicating. They'd come to us about it, and I said, this is unacceptable. And the lady got mad at me, and she said, I'll leave the church. And I said, you mean rather than dealing with your sin, you're going to leave this body of Christ? I said, you haven't understood the church and the body of Christ. You haven't understood the seriousness of your own sin. And so she was unwilling to deal with her own personal sin when she was confronted with it. That is not a good reason to leave the church. Another reason, fourthly, is because you will not work out personal differences with another brother or sister in a biblical manner. And so many times we get mad at people in the church. And this is so carnal. This is so childish. Are we going to have difficulties? Yes, we will have difficulties, simply because we are individuals. But let's treat each other as Christians. Let's don't get mad at them because they don't see exactly eye to eye like we do. Let's don't say mean and hateful things about them. Let's sit down and talk with them in a Christian manner. And then, if you still don't see eye to eye, that's no reason for you to leave the church. Notice how carefully our Baptist forefathers addressed this issue in the London Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689, chapter 26, paragraph 13. Listen carefully to what they said. No church members, upon any offense taken by them, having performed their duty required of them toward the person they are offended at, ought to disturb any church order or absent themselves from the assemblies of the church or administration of the ordinances upon the account of such offenses at any of their fellow members, but to wait upon Christ in the further proceeding of the church. I've known people to get mad at somebody in the church, and they won't come to church because they're mad at them. That is childish. I've known people to get mad at a certain person or certain people in the church, and when it comes time for the Lord's Supper, they won't come to the Lord's Supper because they said, I can't partake of the Lord's Supper with them. Brethren, these things should not be. Notice what it says. You're not to disturb any church. If somebody has sinned against you, then go talk to them. If you're upset at someone, go talk with them. Seek to lovingly and biblically work these things out. And if you don't come to a full agreement, then don't do several things. Don't disturb any church order. Don't absent yourself from the assemblies of the church. And don't absent yourself from the administration of any ordinances. But instead, wait upon Christ. Do you believe that that person is a Christian? Then trust Christ to work in their hearts and lives. Wait upon Christ in the further proceeding of the church. So many people get their feelings hurt and they leave. They don't like the way that the deacons did this. They don't like the way the pastor did that. They don't like the way the Sunday school teacher did that. They don't like the way the church custodian did this. They get mad, they get in a huff, and they leave. This should not be. Learn to work through difficulties with brethren in a biblical manner. Another reason why you should not leave the church is because you're under church discipline. And you refuse to repent of flagrant sins or doctrines and teachings that cause scandal, division, or offenses. If you're under church discipline, you cannot leave the church until the matter is settled. You decline to be restored is even further proof that you're in sin. Another reason why you should not leave the church is because you fail to live the way you should within the church community and the world. If you're not living the way that you should, the answer is not to leave the church. The answer is to repent and get right with God and start living according to the biblical teachings. Another reason why you should not leave the church is because you love the world more than Christ. Some of the saddest words I find in Scripture are in 2 Timothy 4:9-10. Paul says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. No one stood with me. No one is standing with me." Brethren, if we love the world, the love of Christ is not in us. And because we love the world doesn't mean we should leave the church. It means we should repent of loving the world. Another reason is because you reject exhortation when you regularly forsake the church meetings. Notice in Hebrews 10:25, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, the synagoguing of yourselves together, in the manner as some is." And the rest of the verse continues, "but exhorting one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching." And if you're being careless about your worship and about your service and about your attendance at the house of God, and someone comes to you and exhorts you to be faithful, don't get mad at them. Thank God that somebody loved you enough to come to you and exhort you. Don't leave the church. Another reason is because the church does not have all the programs you want. The church today has become so program-oriented that we've lost the glory of Christ. We've lost the concept of His brilliance and His splendor. We want this program and that program and the other programs. And most of the programs are just fillers anyhow. They're just there to keep people busy, keep people engaged and active in the church. I've had people come, "Do you have a youth program? Do you have a senior citizens program? Do you have a divorcees fellowship? Do you have a left-handed basketball team?" You know, I'm being facetious and exaggerating here. But come to the church because of the truth that is believed, preached, practiced in that church. Another reason why you should not leave the church is because the worship or preaching do not meet your felt needs. Brethren, I'm convinced of this. If you sit under the word, if you worship, there's a freedom of worship in this church to worship God in the way that you are comfortable. As long as it doesn't draw attention to yourself and as long as you're not rolling in the aisles, shouting and screaming and jumping the pews and all that, you know, you have freedom. But if the Lord were to move, we might even allow that. If you come and worship and sit under the Word of God, your needs will be met. The full-orbed exposition and declaration of the whole counsel of God's Word is more important than people or your want of programs or your felt needs. A consistent expository ministry will eventually meet all of your felt needs. I believe that. Another reason why you should not leave the church is because you discover one day you're not truly a Christian. See 1 John 2:19. If you are a church member and come to believe you're not a true Christian, the thing to do is not leave the church, but repent and believe the gospel. Let the pastor or pastors know. Get really baptized and then join the church fully as you should. Don't leave it. How then should you leave a church when you have biblical grounds for leaving a church? There are three presuppositions that are indicative of all Christians. And these three presuppositions must regulate all that we think and do. The first presupposition is this, that Christians are loving. For the first time ever, when you come to Christ, you're able to really and genuinely love. Before, most of your love was generated by self and not by love for Christ and love for those that Christ loves. The second presupposition is that Christians are holy, not perfect, but they have turned from sin and turned from the world and turned from the ways of Satan, and they're seeking to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. The third presupposition that is indicative of all Christians is that they rejoice in Christ and they want to please Him. I've never met a true Christian who, from his or her heart, did not sincerely and earnestly want to please Christ. They want to please Him above everyone and everything. So how then should you leave the church when you have biblical grounds for doing so? Leave the church with the Word of Christ dwelling in you and directing all your actions. Make sure that you're behaving biblically. Then you should leave the church with love to God and your brothers and sisters in Christ, describing your exodus. 1 Corinthians 13:1 through 8. What a marvelous chapter in talking about love. I one time will never forget, and one of my former churches where I was pastoring, this man came up to me and he said, "Pastor, I need to talk with you." And I said, "Yes." And we met and he said, "Pastor, I no longer believe in believer's baptism. I believe in infant baptism." And I said, "Are you open for discussion with this?" And he said, "I am, Pastor, but I've been studying this issue for 3 or 4 years and I'm convinced of infant baptism." I said, "Will you study with me for 6 months?" He said, "I will." And he and I met once a week for the next 6 months. I read all these books on infant baptism. He read all the books that I gave him on believer's baptism. And at the end of 6 months, he was not convinced, nor was I convinced of paedobaptism. And he said, "What do you think I should do?" And I said, "What do you think you should do?" He said, "I think I should leave the church." And I said, "I think you should as well. There are other good paedobaptist churches that you can go to." And the way that this man left commended him to my heart and conscience. And when he left, the people in the church cried. He handled himself as a Christian. He had no bitterness, no rancor about him. He wasn't looking down upon us as being ignorant or untaught. He left us with love, with respect, and he left us with real grace. And he loved the brothers and sisters. And that described him when he left us. And he would still come back to visit us from time to time. And when he came back, he was warmly received and loved because he left the church in a gracious and biblical way. Also, when you leave the church, leave with the fruit of the Spirit exuding from your person. Make love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, and temperance. These qualities be in you and manifested in you when you leave the church. Also, when you leave with the mind of Christ governing your attitude. The context of the mind of Christ passage is Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4, especially in the larger context of 1 through 12. "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. He esteemed his brethren better than himself." That's what Paul is dealing with there in Philippians 2. And when we leave a church, we should leave with the mind of Christ governing our attitude. We're not leaving with an arrogant spirit. We are recognizing that other people are better than ourselves. Also, you should leave with the wisdom that is from above controlling your conduct. James 3, verses 13 to 18 says, "The wisdom that is from above is first of all pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated." Let that wisdom be controlling your conduct. Next way you should leave the church when you have biblical grounds to do so is with a forgiving posture void of bitterness. If somebody has sinned against you, then make sure you've settled that matter before you leave. Don't leave with a bitter spirit. Don't leave with people thinking of you only in negative terms. Also, leave with a sacrificial heart beating within you toward your brethren. Leave with this idea that these are my brethren. They may not agree with me, I may not agree with them, but I will help them in whatever way I can. And leave, if at all possible, with a face-to-face farewell. 3 John 3, verses 14 and 15. Closing suggestions with regard to leaving a church. Seek counsel before making a decision about leaving, especially from your elders. Now, if there are doctrinal differences, sometimes that may not be possible. But seek counsel. Next, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or leave as you would like to be left. Do you want somebody to leave you shouting profanities at you, saying all sorts of mean and nasty things? Well, you don't want to leave a church like that either. Also, clean up any unresolved matters before you leave. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit. There is a unity within all Christians that is generated by being in union with Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we need to strive, we need to work at maintaining unity. And when there are differences, and there will be differences, as I stressed earlier, seek to settle them biblically. And before you leave, clean up any unresolved matters. Leave so that when you meet someone on the street, you can take their hand or embrace them in the bonds of true Christian and gospel love. And then another closing suggestion is leave in a way that does not cause confusion or division after you leave. Don't just leave and say, give no reason whatsoever. Don't throw out innuendos. Have a stated biblical reason why you're leaving. State that reason and then leave. Don't leave with any confusion or in any way that will cause division after you leave. Another closing suggestion is leave in such a way that you can be heartily commended to another church. That man in our church that became a Pado Baptist, I recommended for him to go to a Presbyterian church that was a few miles from our church. And I could write a letter to that church and to the pastor and the session in that church and commend this brother and say that he is a godly man. We differed over the matter of infant baptism, but I believe him to be a true Christian that loves Christ and loves his word and is walking in the light that he has. And that pastor called me and he said, thank you. Thank you for that. I wish that Baptists and Presbyterians worked more closely with one another that way. And I hope that it set an example. And that's the way we should leave. We should leave in such a way that we can be heartily commended to another church. I wrote that pastor and told him that he is leaving because of a doctrinal belief over the nature and the recipients of baptism, that he went from a credo Baptist to a pedo Baptist, and he leaves with our blessing. He did not cause any scandal or any schism. And brethren, I submit to you, this is a way to leave a church. Next, leave in such a way that your attitude and conduct will not hinder you from coming back. There have been times that people have left churches and the people in the church have said, boy, I'm glad they're gone. And I hope they don't come back. If you believe that you must leave a church, leave in such a way that people will desire you to come back and that your attitude and conduct will not be a hindrance in you coming back. Also, upon leaving, do not think or speak evilly of those who remain. If there is a doctrinal difference, you have to believe that Christ's people are still there. Unless it is a blatant salvific heresy that they have espoused. And if you do leave, don't think evilly, and especially don't speak evilly of those who remain. And then the last closing suggestion is make sure you know where you're going. Don't leave without a plan as to which church you will go, where you will go, where you will worship. Seek to find another biblical body of Christ where you can worship the triune God, especially as he is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Many leave and stop going to churches altogether. I want you to know that the New Testament knows nothing of a churchless Christianity. If you're going to leave a church, then find another body of Christ. In conclusion, many, because they do not get their way about matters, or because they get their feelings hurt, or because they do not like what is being preached and taught, or a host of other reasons, carelessly and callously leave churches. They're not under the government and rule of the Holy Scriptures and really do not desire to be. They cause division, hurt feelings. They say hard and harsh things. After they leave, they seek to pull others away and have little concern for the testimony of Christ in the world. May we not be so. There are situations when you should leave a church. When you do, make sure you leave in a manner that will bring glory to God and do good to others. And may we, each of us, walk humbly before the triune God and others. May we seek to learn to work out differences in a righteous fashion. May we esteem our sisters and brothers better than ourselves. May we bear with one another as the Lord bears with us. May we learn to forgive one another. May we not hold grudges, and may love for Christ be the thing that guides us. May we love him with all of our ransom powers. Remember a couple of things. First of all, that no church is a perfect church. And also remember that visible churches are central to all the redemptive purposes of God in Christ Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 and 20, when John sees the Lord Jesus, the risen Christ, on the Isle of Patmos, where does he see him standing and walking? He sees him walking among the lampstands. Verse 20 tells us what these lampstands are. What are they? They are those churches, those visible churches of Jesus Christ. The visible churches are central to all the redemptive purposes of God in Christ Jesus, and Christ walks among them. Do all that you can to make the church, expressed in visible congregations, more wholesome and more attractive to a lost and perishing world. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone. To God alone be all the glory. Amen.